It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix.
Hey folks, what is up? It's the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. I am your host, Dan Bach. I go by DB730 in Daily Fantasy, and we're the podcast letting you know about all the cool stuff going on in this industry, bringing up, some of the cool discussions, issues, other things that happen in this great game that we love to play, and of course, the top interviews with the big newsmakers, the big winners in the industry. So we got all that stuff going on today. Want to wish you and yours a very happy new year. Hopefully you had a great couple days off. I know it's kind of weird. Yesterday definitely felt like a Sunday, you know, having the day off in the middle of the week, but a lot of people back at it, including myself, and I don't want to say it's good to be back, but considering my job is talking daily fantasy sports, it is pretty good to be back. So let's get right into it. Lots of stuff going on in the podcast today. We're going to talk NBA a little bit later in the show. We got about 12 games going on the schedule. $55 Draft Street Basketball Championship qualifier that we need to hit up on. So that's going to be on tonight over there on Draft Street. So. But besides that, you got Super Joust qualifiers there on Daily Joust, obviously big tournaments over pretty much all across the industry tonight. So Wednesdays, Fridays, the big nights for the NBA. So I think those are the days I definitely cannot neglect some big NBA discussion. So we will get to that. But we're also going to bring you an interview with the winner of Super Joust 4, Drew Dinkpiece Dinkmeyer, will join us on the podcast. And I got to say, it's one heck of a conversation every time he comes on the podcast. Easily one of my favorite guests of the year. Not only is he, you know, a well-spoken guy, very intelligent, but, you know, he really brings so much to the table for people who are new to Daily Fantasy to look at, you know, his thought process on why he picked the guys he did in the Super Joust. And we get into some NBA discussion and how he looks at his teams and how he selects them. So I think there's a lot of stuff that you can take from it. And one of my favorite guys ever to come on the podcast is Drew. And this is, great reason to bring him on, was winning $20,000 there in Super Joust 4. So we'll get to that discussion here in just a minute. Tonight in the world of Daily Fantasy, like I mentioned, with NBA, but this is pretty much the last go of it for college football. So obviously, the big tournament in the industry tonight is over there on DraftKings. It's their DraftKings.com Cash Bowl. I love it. Biggest guarantee ever for a college football tournament, $25,000. It's a $109 buy-in. They've been running some qualifiers. I've got two seats, and I think I'll probably buy in for probably at least two, maybe three more, simply because I think we're going to have a lot of overlay, and hey, I want to put my name on the CashBowl.com trophy. Now, that would be cool if they had a CashBowl.com trophy that you got along with your, you know, $5,000 in prize money. But, you know, I've been a little critical of the tournament just because I felt like they needed to start it on January 1st because you could have gotten 10 extra teams in there with the five games that were played yesterday, because the game set is rather thin considering how many, you know, how much money is on the line. But I want to give credit where credit is due, and they nailed the pricing for this tournament. You know, it is definitely not a situation where you can load up your team with all the best players. And to be honest with you, I think it's a lot more challenging, and I hope, and even throughout the entire bowl series, I think that they, whatever adjustments they made to their player pricing has really improved. It made it a lot tougher to build teams instead of just loading, top players up. And to me, that's not really the challenge. And I thought sometimes in the regular season, I kind of had that with the college football product on DraftKings, but they definitely improved it for the bowl series. And I don't know if it was because it was a smaller game set or they just started to change things a little bit, because I've even seen even their NBA pricing improved a little bit. It seems like guys are not, so slow to necessarily move their price up and down. So definitely something that I think DraftKings has been paying attention to, and I'm glad that they have. So make sure you take part in this. Like I say, even if you're not a great college football fan, it's certainly going to give you some entertainment over the next week or so. And again, you can get lucky. I mean, I have my picks column up not that long ago. And as for me, this bowl season's been pretty bad. I did okay on Joust yesterday. Actually, I did pretty good on Joust yesterday, but FanDuel just absolutely destroyed me the last few days. And same with DraftKings, not particularly great. And even on DraftStreet, not one of my better bowl seasons. And it's just that when teams have over a month off before they play, you never really know exactly how it's going to show up. There were random injuries like Malcolm Mitchell, you know, that totally sprung up out of nowhere, bageled me on a ton of sites. So, you know, there's just not a great bowl season for me. I had a great regular season, but you know what? If I take down the cash bowl on DraftKings, that will more than make up for it. So you've got that on their site. Certainly FanDuel, DraftStreet, Fantasy Feud wrapping up their race for the Heisman, and Daily Joust, all with big GPPs that include, I think, the next five or six games that we have here the rest of this season. So definitely get in. And, you know, people might wonder, well, Dan, who should I take? Well, you know, it's really tough to kind of give all the picks away. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you even want them based on my record so far this bowl season. But the bottom line is Texas A&M Oklahoma looks like it's going to be a high-scoring game. Now, there's been other games that look like they're going to be high-scoring, but that one, I just don't see it going any other way. So if you focus on that one, you'll probably do pretty well. Best of luck in your bowl games coming up this weekend. But before we get to the NBA, I want to bring on the winner of Super Joust 4, one of the top 10 ranked grinders out there, one of the best daily fantasy players in the industry, and glad that he chalked up his first big championship win. It is Drew Dinkmeyer here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
Very excited to bring on our next guest to the podcast. His second appearance here, joining us here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. He was the Super Joust winner just the other night over there on Daily Joust. That means he took home the biggest payday they've ever had on their site. I think before I was the proud owner of that, but if I'm going to pass it along to somebody else, nobody better than Drew Dinkmeyer, Mr. Dinkpiece, who is Super Joust 4 champion. Drew, welcome back to the podcast. Great circumstances to have you back on, huh?
Yeah, I like these circumstances a lot better than some of the other recent big tournament performances I've had. So glad to be back on and glad to take the mantle from you just for a little bit, Dan. I'm sure you'll grab it back at some point this year.
Well, we'll probably have to fight it out next year in the Super Joust, because I'm guessing that'll probably be their next super payout. But just a great performance. And you know, a final score of 134.73. To be honest with you, if somebody told me that was going to be the winning score, I'd have been a little surprised. I was expecting it to be a little bit more in the 160s. And the interesting thing, I don't know if you kind of looked at it, but a lot of the top performers of the day, people didn't choose. And not taken away from the lineup you put together, but I was really surprised at how many of the common players a lot of people had, and that, you know, nobody really went off the board in a 55-man tournament like this.
Yeah, I thought pricing was really challenging this week on Daily Joust, and I don't play there every week, so I'm not as familiar with the pricing week to week, but I thought it was really tough this week to put together a well-rounded squad. I thought if you went off the board, there weren't a ton of opportunities at really cheap players to try to do that. I saw some people took Bernard Pierce, and that ended up being all right. I didn't want to do that at the running back position because I really, on Daily Joust, with the lack of, you know, points per reception, just 0.25, I really want my running backs to carry my scoring there. It was a tough day, and I think, you know, for me to win big tournaments with the types of teams I put together, and I talked about this with Cal out in Vegas, I think I kind of need those tough pricing days because I tend not to go off the board. I have a hard time being contrarian in coming up with a team that's different than, let's say, just the guys that I think are the best plays and the best values that day. I personally can't really wrap my head around it. So I think it was a great environment for me to be able to do well.
Yeah, and you know, the only pick I'd say you kind of went off the board with was the quarterback selection, and you took Michael Vick, only gave you 12 points, and normally you kind of want your quarterback to anchor you, but the one thing that I think we saw was you weren't the only one with that line of thinking. I was
a little surprised at the high number of people who took Michael Vick. And let's face it, you know, the top performing, you know, quarterbacks of the day, the Drew Brees out there, which most people didn't have. And, you know, it just kind of worked out for you. I mean, normally getting that kind of lack of production from your quarterback isn't going to lend yourself to winning a 55-man tournament. But, you know, everything kind of went into place for you. What was your thought process on going with Vic yesterday?
It came down to price again. And I think one of the challenges with Week 17 is you don't know how long a lot of the higher-priced players are going to play. Obviously, there was some certainty around guys like Drew Brees and Cam Newton and Aaron Rodgers. There was more certainty than most probably led on about Peyton Manning, even though he kind of didn't play last quarter, and Tom Brady. But I really had a hard time putting together lineups that I was comfortable with, and I really like to try to get production across all of my individual spots with spending a lot on quarterback. If I did, it would have been Rodgers. That was the guy that I was really high on this week. But I just couldn't figure out a way to do it. And the funny thing is I kind of got burned with the strategy at the Draft Street Championship in Las Vegas, where I really liked Drew Brees and I really liked Aaron Rodgers in Week 15. And I decided not to spend on them and instead spend on some of their receivers. And I took Graham and Colston. And if you remember, Brees threw four or five touchdowns and none to Graham or Colston. And then I took Jennings, and Rodgers threw three touchdowns to James Jones. I did that this week by taking Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings, and it actually worked out really well. So I guess I got lucky this week and didn't get so lucky in Vegas with that strategy.
Yeah, and those, I think, were probably the keys to you taking this down. I mean, Doug Martin at the running back position, 23 points, was certainly very helpful. But the second highest scoring wide receiver in Greg Jennings, and then obviously Jordy with a 15-point game himself. At any point in time, did you wonder, should I take both of these guys from the Packers? I mean, and like you say, I mean, it could have gone James Jones's route, but
sure.
I'll take it. The Randall Cobb injury kind of solidified that, hey, I got to take one of these. And, you know, my biggest problem was I couldn't decide which one to take. And then foolishly at the last second, I went with Antonio Brown. So I'm, you know, that was about a $10,000 to $15,000 mistake potentially by me. So tell me why you went that route with the Packers guys.
Jennings was locked in for me, and I used him on all the sites this weekend. I had him on DraftKings. I had him on Draft Street. And he was a top 10 receiver in our rankings at Fantastic. So we felt really, really strongly about Jennings. Jordy, I was concerned about, and I took him out of my lineups on a couple different sites the morning of when Ed Werder came out reporting that they'd work him back in a limited role. And then the report that Randall Cobb was inactive, I thought to myself, you know what, they can't really afford to have him too limited with Cobb out. That leaves them with James Jones, Greg Jennings, Jermichael Finley, and then the next guy is Jarrett Boykin. I didn't think in a game that they were playing for home field advantage that they'd really be too comfortable, in a game that I thought was going to be close, too comfortable relying on Boykin a lot. So I decided, you know what, my options were either to drop down or move up from Jordy to Lance Moore and drop down from Doug Martin to LeSean McCoy. But I didn't really want the same risk of having Vic and McCoy on the same team. So I said, you know what, I'll just go with Jordy. He'll play enough, and he's a big play guy that if he breaks off one, which he almost did, he almost broke off a really long touchdown, I can get paid off on that, and I'll take the running back that I feel a little bit more solid with Martin.
Well, you continue to have a great year. I mean, you're ranked number 7 in our grinder rankings. I'm guessing this probably ranks as one of the biggest individual tournaments you've taken down. But, you know, if anybody checks out your profile, you're a high-stakes player. I know you play quite a bit on Draft Street. But, I mean, being a champion, winning a big tournament like this, got to be pretty gratifying, especially when you have, you know, a 55-man field. You know, it's always tough to win any tournament when there's a lot of money on the line. But to take down something as large as a 55-man field, and again, all the people who won these things, won qualifiers, you know, pretty good feeling to know that, you know, you beat some of the best playing on that site, guys like DP and Brad, and not to toot my own horn, but that's probably
yep.
My home base. Got to be a pretty good feeling, you know, to take down, you know, all the big dogs on that site that you don't play quite as much as some of the other people.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I've found more. It's been much more rewarding so far, and it's probably because I haven't, you know, put any of the money to use so far. But just the aspect of winning and competing against, you know, a lot of the other great grinders out there has been really satisfying so far. And that's something I came away with the Draft Street Fantasy Football Championship, finishing 18th out of 20 and just not having a lot of things really go my way that weekend. And, you know, that was the most disappointing thing. It wasn't the monetary aspect on what I missed out on, but it was like, you know what, I really want to have a better showing for myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can compete with everybody. And so it was good to kind of quickly wash that bad taste out of my mouth. And it's just amazing. The year DP has had is just incredible. And the fact that he was basically up there all day yesterday again in the top five and making a run at it. So to be able to get one in over him is nice as well.
Now, I want to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about NBA. I mean, NFL for the most part is over. I mean, there's some playoff contests, but, you know, a limited number of player pools, so I don't get too excited about that. But, you know, you've been pretty strong so far in NBA. I mean, I've certainly noticed your runs there in the Draft Street Basketball qualifier. We were joking the other day that, you know, we might need to call it dinking instead of napping. How many runner-ups have you had so far in that DSB BBC?
Yeah, Friday night was the probably the pinnacle, as I had four of the top six entries and lost to STL Cards. He actually had three of the top seven, so it's not like, you know, he got lucky with one entry. The two of us were really on the ball on Friday night. But of the first 12 qualifiers, I've finished second three times so far. Have yet to earn my seat. It took me a couple times in NFL. I think I finished second twice before getting my seat. In MLB, I think I finished second once. So maybe this is a progression that, you know, after finishing second three times, I can finally nab a seat. But NBA for me is probably my best sport. It's the sport that I grew up on. As a Chicago sports fan, the Bulls brought a lot of happiness to me growing up. So NBA is probably my best sport. It's the sport you'll see me play the most heavily in terms of action. And it's the sport that I kind of feel like I know the best. I have an advantage on people because, you know, I know that guys like Ish Smith or Will Bynum are really good players that are buried on depth charts and have been buried on depth charts for years for no apparent reason. I think that's an advantage that a lot of people that, you know, follow the NBA kind of casually probably aren't as adept at knowing when, you know, which plugins are legitimately worth spending on when they get opportunities, as opposed to just randomly throwing cheap money at guys that might get a start.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk a little strategy here. I mean, we got a chance to pick your brain now that we've got you on the show. I mean, obviously, like you say, you know the sport better than a lot of people, and that does give you an advantage. But when you're building your roster, I mean, how often? I mean, let me flat out ask you: do you ever take a guy like LeBron James or a guy like, you know, Kevin Durant on a site like Draft Street or Daily Joust, where these guys are so highly priced compared to the other people? Or are you of the mantra, like you said with NFL, where, you know, I want to get something out of every single position and I'm not going to tank that one position if I don't have to?
Yeah, I think there's times that it makes sense to take the big dogs, short slate nights, nights where you can find a lot of value, but I will tell you, I rarely take either guy. For LeBron, I'm going to look for opportunities where either Wade or Bosch are out if I'm going to take LeBron, because he really shoulders a lot more of the load when those two guys are out. Same thing with Bosch. I mean, I rarely take Bosch. I kind of only take him if Wade or LeBron are out. And I generally I use the same strategy kind of across all sports. I want all of my positions to be able to contribute. I think that gives you a higher upside. It might give you a little bit of a lower floor because, you know, if you're building a team of a bunch of 10 to 15K guys, let's say, you don't have the solid base of a 35, 40-point night from a LeBron or Durant to build around. So you might have some nights where you're in the 160s, 170s when you really get things wrong. But I think it gives you a higher ceiling in terms of your performance. I think it's really tough to put up a 250 type score, which is the score that I try to base my lineups around, if you're taking one of those top guys and they don't go absolutely bonkers. I mean, to get value on a lot of those guys, I know a lot of people talk about different ways of measuring value, 2.5 times or 2x+5 or different things like that. But you're talking about 45, 50 point, you know, fantasy point nights, and those are tough to come by. Some of the other sites where the pricing is a little bit looser, it makes a lot of sense to hammer those guys almost every day. But on the more competitive pricing sites, I think it's tough to really rely on those guys consistently.
Where do you come out on, you know, bounce back games? I mean, so often we see, you know, top notch guys have a terrible game, highly underperform. And it seems like, you know, slumps don't last very long in the NBA. That's something that I've kind of had a little bit of success looking at. What's your feelings on that? And how much do you put into the positional, I guess, rankings defensively against opponents, you know, in terms of, you know, Charlotte giving up most stats to, or the best stats to centers out there? How do you use those two things in putting your teams together?
Yeah, I think both are very helpful. The bounce back thing, I pay a lot of attention to, but I will say this. There's circumstance around that. I mean, some guys might be having bad games, but they're battling some sort of injury. Like Luol Deng right now is really banged up. And so he's had a couple down games, but I'm less excited to take him when I know he's battling through some injuries. The second part of it is I want that next game after a bounce back to be against a favorable opponent. If it's against a really tough defensive team, you know, a Clippers or a Memphis or a Chicago on some nights, I'm be less inclined. I still want the matchup to look good before I take a bounce back. But most of your guys in the NBA, they're gonna get their numbers, and especially after a bad game, you can kind of count on their focus to be there a little bit more the next game. Maybe they don't go out the night before. Maybe they do a little bit extra at shoot around. So I like the bounce back theory. I do place a high emphasis on matchups, though, and finding not only the positional matchups, but just understanding what types of stats teams give up. So, for example, one of the things I like to look at is if I'm going to take Josh Smith on a given night, who gets a lot of his value from steals and blocks, I want to take him against teams that turn the ball over a lot and give up a lot of block shots. So matching statistics with the type of player that you're getting, if you're going to use a heavy three-point shooter, make sure you're taking him against a team that gives up a lot of three-point attempts. Those types of things that I think a lot of people don't pay as much attention to, and they focus just on the statistical rankings, I think that makes a bigger deal in terms of matching the skill set with what a team's weakness is.
Last thing I want to talk with you about is this industry, where it stands in terms of players actually doing this for a living. Now, I know you've got another job, you know, outside of Daily Fantasy Sports. You also, you know, have a, you know, work for Fantistics, do a radio show on Sirius XM Fantasy Radio. So, you know, you've got your hands full in a lot of different things. But, you know, if you put your mind to it, do you think that this game is beatable to the point of making a living? And you know, are you confident enough in your game right now that you think you could make it happen if you wanted to?
Well, I'm in year one of saying that I could successfully do that. If years two and years three, I'm very financially conservative personally. I work in finance. So if I can do this for another 2 years the way that I've done it this year, then I would say, yeah, I think it's possible. And I'm sure there's other people out there that can probably do this. They might have a bigger bankroll to start off of, and thus they can afford to do it. I've had to build mine up over the years. But I think it's definitely possible. And I think the industry is only growing. These events that the sites are putting on, FanDuel, DraftStreet, DraftKings, Daily Joust, all these sites are putting on such great events with such big numbers in the prize pool that's going to continue to draw in casual observers. And I think SiriusXM and the Fantasy Sports Channel, we're doing a lot more stuff geared towards daily games. Going forward, I know at Fantistics, we're going to do a lot more stuff towards daily games this year, where we've got myself writing and Mike Leone, the Draft Street Fantasy Baseball champ, both writing at Fantistics for daily games. So the industry is only going to get bigger. So I think the opportunity is certainly there. It's just a matter of, you know, your risk tolerance and your personal finances. For me, I need to see it for a few more years before I make that decision, but it's certainly something that's in the back of my mind.
Yeah, and I think that the expansion of the industry is just going to make it easier. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, if you play on a site, you know, like FanDuel, which brings in more and more new players than anybody else, I am stunned at some of the lineups I see playing $100 head-to-head games. You know, I mean, they're talking about guys who, you know, who are injured, who've been injured for months, who are playing, you know, high stakes daily fantasy games. And
yeah.
I think the more people that we get in the industry, I mean, and I'm not saying you pick on those people, and to be honest with you, it's their own fault for playing such high stakes right off the bat. But to see that there's that many people who kind of fall into that demographic kind of makes you think like, hey, you know, as long as, you know, you're not a shark taking on all the sharks, pretty good chance you can be successful. And I know, you know, we talked the last time you were on the podcast about, you know, playing the high stakes on Draft Street that, you know, you see a lot of the same names, but, you know, you try and stay away from certain guys like you and Hicks have, you know, formed a good friendship and a good partnership in terms of, you know, talking about, you know, what you're going to do on a day-to-day basis. So, I mean, you agree with that analysis of in terms of the industry growing and it actually becoming easier down the road?
Hopefully. I think that'll certainly be the case. I mean, obviously there's going to be more talent brought in, no matter, you know, whether the industry grows, there's going to be good players that come in. There's going to be inexperienced players that come in. But certainly, you know, high stakes is a different label that's respective to everybody's, you know, income level. So, you know, somebody might be putting a 109 out there and not putting much effort into their lineup, and it might not be a big deal to them, where it's
true.
Probably a really big deal to most people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's certainly going to help. But I think society as a whole is getting into more short attention span and instant gratification type ventures, whether it's social media or whether it's, you know, multitasking or all the different devices we have. And I think daily fantasy really caters to that more than anything. So I think there's a large portion of the industry that is still growing because people have heard about it, but they haven't actually tried it. And I think once you try it, you get hooked pretty quickly on it. And I think there's going to be, we haven't hit kind of the late or the early 2000s poker kind of boom that I think will hit the daily fantasy sports industry within the next 2 years. The more attention it gets on, you know, SiriusXM and the Fantasy Sports Channel there, the more sites like Fantastics and other sites out there start to cater to daily fantasy, like Roto Grinders does such a good job of. I think you're just going to get more and more people who are going to dip their toe in the water on daily games as opposed to the commitment of season-long games, and you're going to start to see a large gravitation of people who want to move towards that instant gratification of the daily games.
Yeah, very well said. Drew Dinkmeyer. Drew, what's the deal? You guys are still doing the radio show now that football season wraps up?
Yep, we're still doing the radio show. Right now we're on 5 to 7 on Saturdays, but we might move to 3 to 5. We're kind of in limbo because of Maurice Jones-Drew's surgery, since he has a show that re-airs on Saturdays 3 to 5. But we're going to be on Saturdays afternoon. We're going to do football a couple more weeks. We're talking playoff fantasy football. I always give away a couple inside tips to daily and weekly lineups on the show. So if you're playing daily and weekly in the fantasy football playoff season, make sure to tune in and listen in. Dan Claskins and I will give you a lot of good tips and insights into guys that we think are good plays that week, not only in terms of absolute performance, but in terms of scoring and pricing. We tend to throw a lot of hints that way. And then we'll transition into baseball season as we get deeper into the football playoffs. And my co-host Luke Bossy will join me there, and we'll start getting everybody ready for fantasy baseball season.
Awesome. And you can also read him over there, fantastics.com. And he can put on his resume, Super Joust 4 champion. Drew, thanks again for your time here today. Congratulations on the huge score, and I've got a hunch it won't be your last. Thanks again, man.
Thanks so much for having me on, Dan.
It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but damn the game if it don't mean nothing. What is game? Who got game?
Okay, let's talk some NBA basketball for today. A big schedule for us. Qualifiers on Draft Street, Daily Joust. If you want to get in the Super Joust for the NBA, well, you can play over on their site tonight. They got a Super Joust qualifier. I think it's $22 to get in, and certainly $50,000 prize pool for that is definitely very challenging. So definitely, if you want to finish on top, become a champion like Drew just did for football, here's your chance with NBA over there on Daily Joust. But let's get right into the games tonight, Sacramento and Cleveland. Sacramento's in a situation, third game in 4 nights for the Kings. Kind of dangerous to consider too many guys from that
team, but there's some decent value out there. DeMarcus Cousins really stepped up his game since that suspension. He's starting to look like the guy that we all thought he was going to be coming into the season. 36, 32, 41 fantasy points in the last three games. Their point guard position pretty volatile right now. I know Isaiah Thomas is the starter, but Keith Smart, they got to fire this guy. He is the worst coach out there, as he just refused basically to let him run this team. He keeps on going back to Aaron Brooks, and yesterday was a good example of it, as those two pretty much split in time at the point guard position. There's value there on certain sites, but just note that it's far from a sure thing. John Sammons, he's been picking it up lately with no Tyreek Evans or Marcus Thornton, who was banged up the last game. As for Cleveland, Kyrie Irving seems like he's either in the 40s or the mid-20s. And going against the Kings, who might be a little bit weary here, I think that the 40s is probably more likely tonight. Tristan Thompson definitely in play if Anderson Varejao is out. Tyler Zeller, he is basically sitting in the low 20s right now fantasy-wise. If that presents a good enough return on investment, you can roll with him. Portland and Toronto, Kyle Lowry, I like him, even though he is coming off the bench, but he's still playing right around 30 minutes or so, might be a little bit more. And I actually think Toronto, they're probably going to... Normally you like your guys starting, but if they get the minutes, they get the minutes. But I think Toronto realizes that Lowry and Calderon are two of their better players, that they need to play them both. Now, Ed Davis, he's still really underpriced on some sites, and with all the injuries, he's playing big minutes, the only guy they really have on the glass, so I'm willing to roll with him again. And DeMar DeRozan, really decent option lately, too, going against Portland, another team who played last night. I don't mind going with DeRozan here in this one. Now, LaMarcus Aldridge, averaging 33-15 versus the Raptors in his last three games. He's a borderline must-play tonight. Had a pretty decent game last night, but not as good as Nick Batum. He's been 42-35 fantasy points in the last two. J.J. Hickson, he's not cheap, but this looks like a great matchup. Again, not really strong down low in the post. I think Hickson looks like a double-double tonight. As a pretty much of a lock there. Wizards and Pacers, George Hill, he missed the last game. Probably going to go tonight, but definitely keep your eye on it. If he does not play, DJ Augustine, great value play. David West, he scored 30 in the last game between the Wizards and the Pacers. And Roy Hibbert, he might be worth a look. His price has been dropping dramatically, and I don't really think the Wizards match up that great with him. So he's somebody who might be able to finally get to the 30 fantasy point mark. And again, it's all going to be determined whether or not the value is right on him. Jordan Crawford, he's still kind of hurting for the Wizards. Played the other day, but didn't put up good numbers. Garrett Temple's the guy who's been the popular value play at point guard. Not entirely sold on him as being a big-time NBA talent or even an NBA talent. Nonetheless, big time, since he came from the D League, but somebody to keep your eye on if the price is right. Bradley Beal, nice game last night. Somebody to certainly consider. Nice price on FanDuel. And Emeka Okafor, solid over his last five games. So much for the youth movement over there with the Wizards. Chicago and Orlando, Nikola Vucevic had one of his greatest games of his life. Almost 30 rebounds the other night against Miami. He's going to be popular, but I think I'm going to fade this pick tonight, simply because I think Joakim Noah, much tougher on the glass than, say, Chris Bosh is. Now, Aaron Aflalo, he's been in the 30s in two of the last three games. Ish Smith, he was great two games ago against Toronto, but did nothing against Miami, so he's risky if Jameer Nelson is out again tonight. The guy I really like is Carlos Boozer, 22-13. That's what he averaged his last two games in Orlando, and I love him tonight, coming off a pretty good game there against the Bobcats. Luol Deng starting to get a little bit more healthy, seems to be playing better. And Joakim Noah, he did not really live up to the hype against Charlotte. Seemed like a great matchup with him. Turned out he had the flu, played through it, and didn't really do a whole lot. But again, Orlando, not great guarding bigs. Noah could put up a big number tonight. Nate Robinson, keep your eye on him. If Kirk Heinrich is out, could provide you some good value over on FanDuel. Memphis and Boston, Rajon Rondo. I don't even know the right way to say it. Anyway, he had 19, a DNP, and 16 in his last three games, so I'm not sure I'm going to go that route tonight until I see that he is healthy. Tough on defense are the Grizzlies, so it's always difficult to go with teams playing them, so I'm not sure how many of the Celtics I'm even going to consider tonight. Jeff Green, 24-20 fantasy points in the last two. Paul Pierce, under 25 fantasy points over his last four games. Memphis not really scoring much, under 90 points in three straight games. Zebo and Gasol, they might interest me a little bit simply because Boston is so bad down low in the post, but Gasol under 30 fantasy points in three of his last four games. Dallas and Miami, LeBron priced pretty much priced out of most sites. Think you can use him on FanDuel, maybe Star Street, but for the most part, too expensive elsewhere. Dwayne Wade, the other guy I think you can consider on this team. Bosch just seems so soft, just not sold on him, just not putting up the numbers when Wade and LeBron are in there. If one of those two are out, he's somebody to take a look at. As for Dallas, when you see what Vujicic did against the Miami Heat the other day, maybe Chris Kaman is not that bad of a pick. Now, it is a back-to-back situation for Dallas, always dangerous, and I think with that, Dirk Nowitzki, somebody you probably want to lay off tonight. I know the price is decent, but back end of the back-to-back, already came out and said he's a little bit winded, not in the greatest of shape. Possibly the one guy to consider, Darren Collison, 25 fantasy points or more in three out of his last four games. New Orleans is Houston. It's really, you have to consider some of the Hornets here because Houston is so challenged defensively. Grievous Vasquez averaging 17 and 10 over his last 10 games, and Anthony Davis. I think he's another guy who looks like he could put up a solid stat line this evening. Eric Gordon was great in his first game back. I mean, fabulous. And then last night just could not make a shot to save his life. So pretty risky on the back-to-back with him just coming off of that injury and not playing a whole lot. As for Houston, Carlos Delfino had the big game the other night, 36 fantasy points. He's going to be cheap. And Jeremy Lin, 36 fantasy points in two out of his last three games. He's definitely been part of this high-paced offense that they have. And with Jeremy Lin as your point guard, it's probably smart to say we're going to win by outscoring you as opposed to, you know, playing good defense, because he doesn't do that. And attention to FanDuel here. You know, if you're listening to us, how about you bump up Marcus Morris? Still 3,700. This guy's been a starter for like 2 weeks. He is way underpriced, almost a must play on that site. James Harden, usually a lock for 40 fantasy points as well. Brooklyn and Oklahoma City. No value really in Oklahoma City, but you're getting pretty consistent numbers from the Durants, Westbrooks, and Ibaka. Kevin Martin, hit and miss, major risk most nights. Probably pass on him. As for Brooklyn, Darren Williams had 33 points scored in his last game against Oklahoma City, but he's been slumping kind of big time lately, so it's tough to go with him. Gerald Wallace may return, and if he does, I'm fine with that route. As for Brooke Lopez, rough go of it last game, but he'd been very good in the previous. Personally, I think this is going to be a blow-up. Brooklyn, terrible on the road. Perkins, pretty tough down low in the post, so I'm not sure if I'd go with Brooke Lopez tonight either. San Antonio and Milwaukee, Monte Ellis, he is red hot. 35, 39, 43, 35, and 45 fantasy points in the last five games. As for Brandon Jennings, he's been okay, but know that this matchup, lowest average points-wise for against any team, is San Antonio for Jennings, who they play tonight. So probably wouldn't go there this evening. Ersan Ilyasova, 30 fantasy points in two out of his last three games. Remember last year when he got in some crazy hot streak where he was scoring like 35 to 40 fantasy points a night? I'm not sure we're into that route yet, but keep your eye on that situation if he keeps up the production. Tony Parker, he's been pretty big in his last three games. Manu Ginobili as well, 29, 29, 21 in the last three. Tim Duncan, super consistent, probably a tad bit overpriced on some sites. Again, I never take Tim Duncan, and some nights I regret it. Most nights, I don't. Philly and Phoenix, Luis Scola, 51 and 30 fantasy points in the last two. He's a good value in some spots tonight, as is Goran Dragic, 38 and 24 in the last two. Like the price on him. Jared Dudley, Shannon Brown, probably underpriced on some sites, but pretty very inconsistent. So it's really tough to really consider them fully, maybe in a GPP around if you need to find some value somewhere. As for Philadelphia, how about the game Drew Holiday and Evan Turner had last night? They basically won me some good cash last night in on DraftKings. And you know what? Here's your trend, folks. Who's ever playing the Lakers? Take a guy or two from that team. They're going to have big games. And it was Holiday and it was Turner last night. The guy who's been showing up lately, Spencer Hawes, 21 and 31 fantasy points in the last two games. Moving on, Minnesota, Utah, Kevin Love brings a ton of upside, but he hasn't been great on the road, and he does not have a great history against Utah, so I'll probably pass on him. Pekovic, on the other hand, 22 and 11, that's what he's averaging in his last four road games. He's been solid all year long. Alexei Shved, right around 24 fantasy points, and I think I'll give him a look tonight. Ricky Rubio, he's going to be out with injury, so I think Shved could possibly maybe get to that 30-point mark today. Paul Millsap, he's got a good history against the Wolves, averaging 24 points per game in the last four, but be careful, only averaging 11 in his last six. Gordon Haywood had 26 points in his last game against Minnesota and has gone for 28 and 25 fantasy points in the last two. Price is right on him over there on Daily Joust today. And Jamal Tinsley, he's cheap but usually terrible, so buyer beware with him. Last game, Clippers and Golden State, third in four nights for the Clips. The win streak just ended, and DeAndre Jordan, he's the one guy who's really been picking up his game as of late. 29, 27, 33 fantasy points in the last three. Blake Griffin, I think he's a fine option tonight. He's kind of been down in the last two games. I think this could be a good bounce back situation. I know he got into foul trouble yesterday, so don't hesitate to go with Blake Griffin tonight. Chris Paul, Jamal Crawford, each of these guys had 27 points in the last game against Golden State. As for Golden State, you got David Lee. He's really kind of dropped off from scoring 40 fantasy points every night to about the mid to upper 30s, so he's still good, but I think we're kind of seeing him come back down to earth a little bit. As for Steph Curry, you know what? He's one of the best shooters in the game, but the Clippers, one of the better defensive teams out there, so not sure I go with Steph tonight. Klay Thompson, very consistently in the mid-20s. Depending on the site, that might be enough return on investment, but usually not. Same with Jarrett Jack. He's a guy who doesn't start but plays starters minutes and right around 25 to 28 fantasy points recently. So that's the rundown of the NBA for this Wednesday night. Best of luck in your matchups. So let me tell you about Daily Joust, the great sponsor of this podcast. You got some college football tournaments going on tonight over there. We got a Camelot that you can take a shot in. $22 entry into that one. And again, these will take you through the rest of the college football season. Now, if you're an NBA fan, tonight you can get a Super Joust qualifier on the board, which is a lot of fun. Give you a chance to get into that $50,000 Super Joust. And the cool thing about Daily Joust that a lot of other sites, some do, some don't, but they have such a great rewards program. What do I mean by that is they offer badges on their site. The more you play, the easier it is to get the badges. And basically, if you get three badges or more, you're going to be playing in monthly free rolls. And they're offering up to $1,000 pretty much every month in free rolls that they're giving back to players on their site. So a lot of sites will run free tournaments, but they make it open to everyone. And you got like, you know, 2,000 people playing, and it's impossible. But you know what? This is really focused more on the people who play on their site. So, you know, for example, Saturday, January 5th, three badges or more in December, $100 college football or college basketball free roll. Six badges in December, $200 NBA free roll. Nine in December, $300. And you know what? 12 in December, $400 NFL free roll coming up on Saturday. So I love the fact that they give back to the people who play on their site. So just one of the many reasons to give them a look, give them a chance to earn your daily fantasy business, 100% deposit bonus, I think up to maybe $600 over there on Daily Joust right now. And remember, when you sign up through our links, you're getting all of our incentives basically forever. So, you know, there's going to come no time where, you know, the paid versions of the incentives, you know, they might go monthly. Guess what? You won't have to worry about that. It'll be covered. Always sign up through our links. It is a great way to go over there and play on Daily Joust. Great sponsor here, the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. And with that, I'm saying goodbye to you for this Wednesday. Thanks again to Drew Dinkmeyer for his time on the podcast today. We'll return tomorrow. I am going to discuss this hot topic on the forums tomorrow about player replacements and the issue, because certainly it's been a huge one with the NBA, with players, late scratches. So I'm going to give you my take on that on tomorrow's podcast, so don't miss out. Also, more NFL analysis as well. So please follow us over there on Twitter, at RotoGrinders. We've got a Facebook page, and on iTunes. Subscribe to this podcast so you can get it each and every day. Till tomorrow, everyone, have yourself a great Wednesday night, and we will see you.